We might just get a song from these. Because I'm back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing? You good?
I know you like that.
Welcome back.
I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
Are we ready?
We're recording.
Season 2.
Babylon Sisters, shake it.
Welcome back to the Soft Shoulder Podcast.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Do you remember when Mace came back and that was the sample he used?
He used Welcome Back Cotter as a sample?
Yeah, yeah. It was like his thing.
Wait.
Yeah, we're talking Mace.
Mace came back?
Yeah, Mace had like Harlem World.
Yes.
And then, oh shit, what was his second album called?
I don't know, but I saw a meme the other day that was like a picture of the inside of a cheese grater. And somebody said, like, this picture of a cheese grater really makes me think that Mace and Puff Daddy are going to pop out and start dancing.
What?
From the video. When you see it, it would make sense. It's like a chrome, like, room almost. It's created by like a box grater.
So, yeah, Mace had Harlem World. And whatever his second album is called. And then...
what's the sample in Harlem World? Is it James Brown?
Yeah. What you know about going out? Head west, red legs, TVs, all up in the headrest. Try and live it up. Rock jewel, pick a truck. Peace all glittered up. Stick a kid in the butt. Jig with a cut. Chris spit it up. Rock, get your until I can't get it up.
I forget who that sample is.
Anyways, TV all up in the headrest.
Yeah, yeah, okay, whatever.
Anywho, he went away. He became a preacher.
Oh, right.
And then he came back, and his lead single off his comeback record was sample Welcome Back, Cotter.
Huh.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Mace News.
Wow. Well, that's it for Mace News. We'll see you next time, folks.
Should we make season 2 of just all a deep dive into Mace?
Yeah, and we'll have a segment every episode where you start the song where it's like
Mace News.
I love Mace News.
This week in Mace News.
Let's do that. Like Mace
great.
News.
Great.
Why not?
Great. We might run out of Mace News. It might have to be like Diddy News after a while.
Whatever. As long as it's Bad Boy Records related, then really care.
Okay, like, cool.
Speaking of the link between hip hop and soft rock and jazz fusion and whatever the hell else these guys do.
We're in the wheelhouse here. Mace is not out of the question with what we're talking about.
Absolutely
today.
Not, because we are going to be talking about Steely Dan.
Oh, you wanted me to say it at the same time as you. Okay, wait, let's do it again.
1, 2, 3.
Steely Dan!
Wow. Season 2.
Woohoo! Out of the gate, coming in hot.
Out of the gate, coming in hot with Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Steely Dan rule. This has been a really fun time.
Oh my God, I love Steely Dan.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
So much.
Yeah, like a lot.
Yeah. It's something I cannot explain. And it's also something that I've noticed is like a phenomenon between like people that I know as well.
Yeah.
Like of a certain age. That like Steely Dan is just like the epitome of music for some reason.
Well, to be fair, I think the first conversation we had ever, you and I, was about Peg.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. I love talking about Peg.
I'm pretty sure that was the first time like I like spoke to you like one-on-one. Uh-huh. It was like we just started waxing poetic about Peg.
Because I'll just walk up to a new person and be like, hey, have you ever seen that section of the documentary about Asia where they just isolate Michael McDonald's vocals from Peg? Because let's talk about it.
It's so good.
Foreign movie.
I was just about to do that.
How many different ways can you say it in that phrasing rhythmically, and you know, but it would come down to such fine points like pronunciation and exact rhythmic, you know, vibrato, no vibrato, you know, things like that. And so it was always real challenging.
He did a couple parts on top of himself.
All in 3D, foreign movie.
Let's check out his high part just to embarrass him.
Cool.
Back to you. Pat, back to you.
Sorry, Mike. There it is. Total ears, too.
All in 3D, foreign movie. Pat, back to you.
Peg doesn't sound like much of a part, but the harmonies were so close that that was a real learning experience for me to sing a chord, you know, part by part with myself.
Anybody, please go watch that now, The Making of Asia. My second favorite part of that whole thing is when you hear Begin just start rapping along to
oh yeah, when he sings
to Black Cow.
Uptown, y'all.
Like, uptown. Uptown, baby. Uptown, baby. For the crown, baby. I'm like, which is hilarious because like they're laughing about it, but they definitely sued those guys.
Uptown, baby. Uptown, baby. We get down, baby. Up on the crown, baby.
Uptown, baby. Uptown, baby, we gets down, baby, I'm for the crown, baby.
Now if it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap probably never would be going on. So tell me where you from.
Uptown, baby, uptown, baby, we gets down, baby.
100%. On that record, the two only songwriters on Deja Vu Uptown Baby are Becker and Peg. Anyways, but we'll get into that later.
Great. Love it.
Let's start. I think we're going to start this out a little different than usual, right?
Yes. I, as a Steely Dan lover, have a challenge for you today.
Sure, sure.
Which is, I made two games.
Perfect.
Maybe we'll play one now and one later in the episode.
I love it.
They're pretty much the same game.
Perfect.
They're not very complicated games.
Even better.
So, as like the, you know, like the songwriting of Steely Dan is... you know, it's great, and it's one of the reasons that I love them, especially, like, the lyrics. And I will say that, like, I feel like they're very similar to Bob Dylan in some ways, and just sort of, like, you know, hear me out in the, like, sure. The strange narrative of it all, and the way in which, like, they kind of like to use turns of phrase, or just, like, incredibly normal-seeming things.
Sure.
But also in the way that they like to talk about drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, definitely.
and are pretty much constantly singing about some kind of woman that has wronged them.
Fair, fair. Yeah, like they inhabit characters a lot, right?
Yeah, totally. Like they sing from the perspective of that character and kind of like take you on a journey as that like first person perspective, which I feel like is a Bob Dylan thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. No, it makes sense.
So the first game that I have made for you is I'm going to give you a list of all the drinks that are mentioned in Steely Dan songs.
Okay.
And you have to tell me which one of those is actually not in a Steely Dan song.
Fair.
So
fair.
There's one, you know, false in all these.
Okay. Okay. And how many is there?
Let's see. 10.
10. Okay, yeah, that sounds super easy.
All right. Okay. Are you ready?
This. I know there's one that's definitely not.
You know one that's not?
Well, that it is.
Oh.
Yeah, never
okay.
mind.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. All right, we're starting it off easy. Scotch whiskey.
In a song. Okay. Deacon Blues.
Okay, great. Cuervo Gold.
Obviously. The Cuervo. They do. Sorry, I have to just interject for 2 seconds. I was watching a live concert of theirs, and they have like the dumbest bit where they're like, Donald Fagen just stops playing the keyboard, and he's like, oh, there's like a certain type of tequila out there, but I can't really remember which one it is. He's like, do you know Becker? And he's like, no, I have no idea. And he's like, what could it be? And then you hear the backup singers go,
oh no.
And he's like, what?
No. Nerds.
But I also love it so much. Okay.
I like how they get brand specific at times.
Oh,
you
for
know?
Sure. Okay, yeah, no, so yeah, definitely
okay.
In a song.
Cuervo Gold, yeah, right. Black Cow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Water.
Oof. I'm sure they mentioned water.
You're correct.
Okay.
Milk.
Yes.
Yes. Correct. Okay.
Milk.
Milk, yes.
Gross.
Hirschwasser?
I'm going to say yes, only because you would have had to just make that up.
I know, that's a little bit obscure, so yes.
What is it?
It is, oh God, I looked it up, but I forget
it
now.
It doesn't matter. It's a drink.
It's not something that looks appealing. It's in Babylon Sisters. I mean, Babylon Sisters, take it!
Or shake it, we don't know. We never looked
up
the lyrics.
He's saying take it, but it's not take it, it's shake it. Okay, gin?
Yeah. No?
No.
Really?
That was the one that I just threw in.
Okay. What were the other?
And then the last three are cherry wine.
Yeah.
Grapefruit wine.
Yeah, for sure.
And poison wine.
Poison wine?
Yes.
What's that from?
It's from King of the World.
Poison wine?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So that's it. I mean, there might be some others. I just really only went up to Gaucho. I was like, everything after Gaucho is dead to me, in my opinion.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, it's late era any band.
Yeah.
So, I mean, or any band we talk about, at least.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Okay, well, I didn't get it.
You lost.
Yeah,
let's see. We'll come back to the other game later in the episode, and we'll see if you can win.
To be fair, if you would have read them all, I definitely would have said poison wine.
Well, maybe I'll do that for the women. I'll just read them all in a row and then
you
have to decide.
There we go. Okay. There we go. So Steely Dan, basically two dudes.
Yeah.
At least what everybody knows of Steely Dan. They were a band at one point.
Yes.
They were founded in 1971. Our two main members are Walter Brecker and Donald Fagen. They met at Bard College in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Fagen was passing a cafe called the Red Balloon and just heard Becker practicing inside and was like, ooh, who's that? I need to start a band with him. And that's exactly what happened.
That's like the Michael McDonald, Kenny Loggins love connection too.
Exactly, yeah, right? Right? Just roaming around the studio.
Just got ears pricked up looking for somebody who is as nerdy about music as you are.
Exactly. Yeah, so they literally met like that. They played in bands together for a while until they settled on like a semi-permanent lineup in a band called Leather Canary. With Chevy Chase on drums.
Weird.
Yeah, which was super strange.
Huh.
I was like, okay, yeah. Yeah, famous comedian and shithead.
Yeah, famous comedian. Maybe more famously a shithead, yeah.
At least now.
Yeah.
Kind of strange. Basically, once Fagen graduated, they both moved to Brooklyn and tried to make it as songwriters, just trying to sell their music to anybody they could. They finally connected with Kenny Vance from Jay and the Americans.
Oh, yeah.
He took interest and gave them a job writing a soundtrack for a low-budget Richard Pryor movie. That was
oh, my God. Which one?
It was called You've Got to Walk It Like You Talk It or You'll Lose That Beat.
Hmm.
Yeah. And in typical Becker and Fagen fashion, they were like, we didn't really like the music. We just did it for the money. Like, it started out even then like that.
Cool, guys.
Yeah. There is a series of demos from this point, though, that's really neat. There's about 25 or so songs.
Yeah.
Altamira, Brooklyn, and Barrytown are all from these demos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I kind of like all those songs. I like Barrytown.
Barrytown's great.
It's kind of a weird song, but I like it.
Yeah, it's triumphant in a weird way.
I can see by what you carry that you come from Barrytown. Don't believe I'm taking it.
You know what it reminds me of?
No.
Early Billy Joel.
Fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I completely get it. Would that be the Jersey connection, maybe?
Yeah, maybe it's the Jersey connection.
Yeah,
because
like you can hear that in Fagen's voice.
Totally.
Like, you can hear Jersey.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the, some of our other favorite Jersey boys? Springsteen.
Springsteen, yeah. Pauly D.
Pauly D?
Yeah.
DJ Pauly D?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Okay, sure.
The Situation.
And Billy Joel, right?
Yeah.
The Situation.
That's not what you're asking me about? Oh, sorry.
Donald, The Situation. Fag.
Oh my God, what if there was some kind of time loop where Donald Fagen was actually The Situation?
I sure. Would that make fucking Walter Becker Snooki?
Oh my god.
We're very topical here. Within the first 12 minutes, we've talked about Mace and Jersey Shore.
Is Mace and Jersey Shore like not topical? Like that's not in the zeitgeist currently. Like we're not recording this in like 2001.
We're bringing it back. Welcome back to the zeitgeist, Mace. And then at this point, they actually joined the touring band for Jay and the Americans for like a year and a half.
What's that Jay and the Americans song? What's the song that I would know?
I heard her say, hey, come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man, so big and so strong.
You would expect that their song would be, we're an American band.
I wish.
Did they ever do a cover of that?
They might have. I don't know. I have no idea. The Jay of Jay and the Americans referred to Walter Becker and Donald Fagen as the Charles Manson and Starkweather of rock and roll.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he found them creepy.
I mean, they are creepy.
They are kind of creepy, but it's just like, I guess, sure.
But it's like, sometimes you see pictures of them and you're like, oh, and then other times you're like, I don't know, they kind of look like people I would hang around.
I think I'd be freaked out by Donald Fagen, honestly.
Like, it's probably just because he's a tough Jersey guy.
He always looks really mean.
Yeah. But maybe it's just because he has scoliosis or something.
Does he?
I don't know. He's always hunched over.
Starting rumors.
Yeah.
At this point, they just continued writing in Brooklyn. They didn't have a lot of success, but actually Barbara Streisand recorded one of their songs that they wrote.
Oh, yes. I've heard that.
Yeah. I Mean to Shine.
To break away.
And their luck changed a bit when a friend of Kenny Vance, Gary Katz, was hired as the staff producer for ABC Records. And he hired Fagen as Becker as staff songwriters.
Oh,
at that
right.
Point.
Yeah.
But the songs they were writing were too complex for anybody on ABC to record.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, exactly right.
They're like, oh, you don't want some kind of like fucking weird pastiche jazz song? Your loss, I guess.
So at this point, Gary Katz was like, you guys should just start your own band. Why are you doing this? Like,
yeah.
Just start your own band. Problem with that was that Donald Fagen really didn't like his voice at first.
I love his voice.
Me too.
I think
it's great.
That's one of the reasons that I like Steely Dan so much is that it's like Bob Dylan. It's not a great voice, but I love it.
Yeah. Well, it's very distinct.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But to that, they actually hired a whole other singer, named David Palmer.
Oh.
Yeah. So David Palmer was actually hired to sing live when Steely Dan first started.
Huh.
Cause, Fagen didn't want to do it.
Right.
Same. And he actually took like the lead on a couple songs, on their first record.
On Can't Buy a Thrill?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He sings, Dirty Work.
Out of town, that's the time you get me running, and you know I'll be around. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah, I don't wanna do your dirty work.
Does he?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's not what else did he sing?
Guess that's not him, is it?
In Brooklyn.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does Walter sing on any of those songs?
Yeah, he sings on all the rest of them.
Yeah, because yeah. I was feeling like after hearing some of his solo stuff and kind of like clocking that he sounds a lot like Tom Petty.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, wait, Walter's singing on this.
No, sorry, you said Becker. Sorry, no, Becker does not sing on
any of
those.
Oh, no, he doesn't?
Ones,
no. Oh, okay.
I don't think Becker sings on many songs at all in Steely Dan, does he?
Maybe not. I don't know. I actually hadn't really looked into it.
I think
at
it's all Fagen, except for these two songs on the first record.
Right. Yeah.
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 What else did this guy do? Not really too much. One thing I did find that he started a band eventually called Waku. David Palmer. He also sang the song Silhouette from Teen Wolf.
Like the song that's like silhouette, 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 silhouette.
No.
Whoa. No?
No?
Okay.
It's like an 80s like power ballad.
Silhouette. Oh, baby, you've got me in such a sweat. Can't keep from staring. Can't keep from tearing at my clothes because they're so damn wet.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all I can find about David Palmer. He also like looked way off from the rest of the band. Like they were all dressed like, well, like they were dressed like Becker was looking like a calculus teacher, and
sure,
Fagan was looking like a, I don't even know, like a creepy vampire.
Like they just looked like professors that did a lot of drugs.
Exactly. Yeah. But this guy was in like jumpsuits and shit.
Whoa, he was ready to join Van Halen.
Yeah, or like that dude that was in Toto for a minute.
What dude?
Remember they had that like other South African guy for a little bit, and they like
oh yeah
mid-tour.
that guy that thought it was the hymn show, whatever that guy's name was.
The guy that thought that Michael Jackson bit his style.
Ooh, oh boy,
I can't remember his name, but yeah, they were like kept demoting him further and further down during the tour, and in the end he was just playing tambourine.
But you know what? I bet he had so much spirit in that tambo.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, probably not.
Shaking
honestly.
His little heart out,
going from like. And I think, like, in that tour, by the end of it, it was just Steve Lukather was the lead singer by the end. They're just like, nah, he's got this.
Hmm.
Yeah. They also had Denny Diaz on guitar.
Yeah.
Becker and Fagan answered an ad that they saw in the Village Voice.
Right.
And the ad said,
looking for a keyboardist and bassist, must have jazz chops, assholes need not apply.
And they're like, well, that's us. So they joined with him. He stayed with them right up, I think, until Gaucho.
Yeah, he was on a lot of the recordings.
Sure.
Yeah.
I watched something on I can't remember. It might have even been the Asia documentary where they were talking about him.
Yeah, I think it's in the Asia documentary. They do like focus on him.
Yeah.
It's definitely like at a certain point you're like, oh, the end of this documentary is just going to be me watching them play live off the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It's like, woo. Oh.
Then they took Jim Hodder on drums. He was from a band called The Bead Game.
Oh, wow.
Right? I wasn't able to find much else on Jim Hodder, mm-hmm. except for that he was in Steely Dan for mm-hmm. a long time. And then their most, I would say, famous member after Fagan and Becker is Jeff Skunk Baxter.
The Skunk.
I found out that he will not tell anybody how he got that that nickname.
Huh.
Yeah.
What? Who cares?
I don't know. Apparently it's a thing. People keep asking him like
maybe because he had really bad dad farts or something.
That's what I was assuming. Like he just like stunk.
If you won't tell anybody, it's probably something you're embarrassed about, like for your sure. farts.
Open up, Skunk Baxter.
You want a hard-hitting documentary about Jeff Skunk Baxter.
Skunk news. He's the guy that sang or that played that awesome lead guitar on Ricky Don't Lose That Number.
Oh yeah.
Like it's so hot, that guitar.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's got a real like Doobs kind of sound to
big
it.
Time. Well, I mean, he went on to join as a full-time member of the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah,
after
this like you can kind of tell, like even just with that song too, like Steely Dan's presence in like classic rock radio is pretty much dominated by songs that are on Can't Buy a Thrill.
Sure.
And Ricky Don't Lose That Number. Yeah. And that's kind of it. Like everything
yeah,
else
definitely,
is just sort
definitely.
Of like classic rock radio is not going to really touch it.
Yeah.
But it's like that moment in that album. It's like, okay, here's still our like, you know, quote unquote classic rock song. And then the rest of it's like all jazz.
Yeah, for sure. Do you know what happened to Skunk Baxter?
Just in general?
Yeah, like what he's up to now?
No, I haven't caught up with Skunk.
He's the chair of the Civilian Advisory Board for Ballistic Missile Defense of the U.S.
What?
Yeah. And
why?
I have a quote here from him.
Why?
Exactly, right? So.
They're like, get the skunk.
I think it was like mid-80s. They're like, I guess maybe Reagan was like, I need the skunk.
Wait, what kind of qualifications can he possibly have for having that position?
According to him, here's what he said.
Okay.
We thought turntables were for playing records until rappers began using them as instruments. We thought airplanes were for carrying passengers until terrorists used them as missiles. My biggest thing is to look at existing technologies and see other ways that they can be used. which happens in music all the time and happens to be what terrorists are good at.
Bring in the skunk.
So, I mean, I guess, like, he's not wrong in some ways. But
he's not, but I mean, I'm sure there's more qualified people out there than Jeff Skunk
Baxter.
That's
real weird. Did I ever, you know, as an aside, did you ever listen to that podcast, Winds of Change?
Yes. Yeah, showed me that. And I was like, what is this?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's really neat. That is the podcast about... Scorpions?
Uh-huh,
the being scorpions. A psyop for the Germans or Russians or?
Well, no, it was the conspiracy theory stands is that that the song Winds of Change was actually written by the CIA.
That's it. Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes.
As
yes.
a way to sort of like, infiltrate that. What is it? East or, I always forget. East or West Germany?
I think it's East Germany.
East Germany.
Yeah.
To bring down the wall and all that stuff.
That
and to unite Germany once again after Soviet rule is over.
Yeah. And there's that's a long podcast.
It's a really long podcast.
There's like 9 episodes.
Yeah. And a lot of it goes into, like, there is a lot of talk about, like, the Scorpions and all that stuff and that particular song. But there's also, like, a lot of talk about just, like, the history of American music being used as propaganda.
Big time, and even as a weapon sometimes.
Totally.
Like, what bands were it that they blasted? Was it Metallica? Metallica and Guns N' Roses? I think
maybe.
It was like in Afghanistan. Like,
yeah.
I can't remember. Or maybe it was Iraq. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Super neat podcast.
It's pretty cool. It's definitely worth a listen.
Yeah. At this point, they were with ABC because of their buddy Gary Katz. They issued their first single, which was Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Steely Dan hates this song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally just said, like, yeah, we don't play that. Even on their, like, their box set, which I think was called, like, something stupid, like The World According to Steely Dan or something. It's like all their, every recording ever was put in a box set.
Oh, boy. You mean every recording as in, like, the 58 takes of
There's
every
a lot
musician
of that shit,
and every
I'm sure.
song?
No, but, like, yeah, they didn't even put that on there. So they were touring a bit. But nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
And in 72, they released their first record, Can't Buy a Thrill.
Yeah.
Which had two hit singles on it, like, right off the bat.
Yeah.
With Do It Again and Reelin' in the Ears.
I don't know why I'm saying y'all like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
and then Dirty Work as well.
I don't want to do your dirty work.
Oh no. Is it oh yeah or oh no?
There's one.
Probably oh no.
It's oh no and then oh yeah, I think.
Oh.
Cool. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah.
That's it.
I don't want to do your dirty work.
Oh no.
Oh no.
At this point, Palmer was still singing live for like the whole, like, just all songs sung by Palmer.
Yeah.
But it was actually Katz and Becker preferred Fagan's voice. And then, like, pushed him to take the lead vocals.
Oh.
And at that point, your boy, what's-his-face Palmer, just kind of, like, left.
Just slunk into the shadows and disappeared.
Like, goodbye. I'll be back in the mid-80s for Silhouette Hunting. and Waku, or whatever the hell his band was called. Kawu, or who cares?
Kawu?
Who cares?
Iowa 13? Yahuwah, Yahweh, whatever it is.
Oh, I actually listened to that the other day. It's Father Yod.
Yeah, but the name of the band was like Yahweh or something.
Oh, man. Yeah. It always comes back to the Source family. 73, they released their next album, Countdown to Ecstasy. Countdown to Ecstasy.
This is such a trash album.
I don't like it at all.
It sucks so much, and I can't figure out why it's so bad.
Oh, they don't like it either.
It's so bad.
They said they rushed it.
Mm.
So they actually recorded this and wrote it while they were on tour for Can't Buy a Thrill.
Because it sounds like, you know, like it almost sounds like a middle-of-the-road classic rock band's, like, you know, best album.
Yeah,
right?
it's like a Chicago record.
Yeah, totally.
You're just like, oh, okay,
you're
cool.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm listening to the new Chicago.
Even the singles on that suck, man. Like Showbiz Kids.
While the poor people sleeping, keep the shade on the light. While the poor people sleeping, all the stars come out at night. While the poor people sleeping, keep the shade on the light. While the poor people sleeping, all the stars come out at night.
my God,
a
I
good
don't.
Song.
No.
My Old School is okay at best.
I think that's the only one that I can kind of like tolerate.
Yeah.
But again, because it sounds to me like early Billy Joel.
Which is fine.
Yeah,
I'll take
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I was smoking with the boys upstairs when I heard about the whole affair. I said, whoa, no, William and Mary won't do now.
Wait, speaking of Billy Joel, I have to tell you something
sure.
that I found out this week.
I love it.
So, you know how we love Ween?
Of course. Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast and they had mentioned that they found out that Gene Ween has a Billy Joel cover band.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh my God, what? And then also Whoa. Like, this makes so much sense and I love
it. Is there recordings?
Yeah, there's recordings.
Amazing. Like, definitely, if we can get some, I'll put some in here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think there's like a bunch of live footage and stuff like that too.
Huh. You had to open up your mouth. Actually, listening to a ton of Steely Dan,
mm-hmm.
They're kind of similar to Ween.
That's their exact like you hit the nail on the head. They are Ween. They're like proto Ween, you know.
Yeah, but like late era Ween.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not
like not
early
like
stuff.
Like Push the Little
it's
Daisies
like,
Ween.
Yeah, no, it's like Ween when they figured out like, oh, actually, what we really love to do is like this like genre riffing thing and
yeah,
this
yeah,
like
yeah.
pastiche and this like kind of like experimenting with like you know. Like the jokes of it all and the joke being like, what if we just made a really convincing sort of like simulacra of like this kind of music?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what if this song on this record sounded like Motorhead and the next song sounds like Kenny G?
Yeah.
Don't call your mother. Don't call your priest. Don't call your doctor. Call the police. You bring the razor blade. I bring the speed. Take off your best time at your party. The wife and I thank you very much. We had the best time at your party.
Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I guess, guys. But
yeah.
Like,
but it's the same with Steely Dan. Like, it's like the thing that drove them, and you hear this in so many interviews too, is that they're talking about like, the what they were exploring and what they were moving towards was always the stuff that they thought was funny.
Yeah, exactly. It was almost like an inside joke between those two guys.
Yeah.
And like they didn't really care if anybody else got it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People did, obviously. They're yeah. a huge band, but like I see that I like Ween's the same way.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Like something that is stupid with Ween, like the song Your Party.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that song is so dumb,
yeah.
but so funny.
Yeah.
The wife and I thank you very much. Like, just like, it's so good. But then Ween also have like, you know, like gorgeous tunes from like,
oh,
like,
yeah.
like some of those like songs on like the Mollusk are
oh,
amazing.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the same with these guys.
Kind of like elaborate, like choosing your studio musicians really like delicately selecting them. Like there's so many, like, I don't know. I don't think it's at all crazy to see the parallels between those two bands.
No, not at all.
And I think it is kind of a continuation too of like what Steely Dan was really interested in. And I almost think too, like, I mean, I don't think that Ween is super influential, but I do think that Steely Dan is super influential.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that like a lot of what Steely Dan did in like the production and being essentially like they're musicians, but they were producers. And that, like,
yeah.
it kind of paved the way for, like, pop music to just be about this elaborate production and this
sure.
elaborate kind of, like, mixing of, like genres all the way through the ages, kind of.
Well, which
really
is really neat, because it's, like, they're also, like, they were almost, like, a melting pot and, like, a jumping off place for a lot of, like, major, like influential musicians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of people who came and like almost like filtered themselves through Steely Dan and like went on like Michael McDonald, for example.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you know what I mean? Like he went on to completely change the whole sound of the 80s.
Yeah, totally.
And I think his first gig was Peg.
Yeah. And they just, he changed it by making the 80s sound like this.
Foreign movie.
Peg. Back to you.
I love Michael McDonald. Back to Steely Dan.
Uh-huh, yeah.
In 74, they released Pretzel Logic, which is like kind of like their breakthrough record.
Yeah.
Well, ish, because I mean, their first record was also great. It had those two hits. But anyways, whatever. It had Ricky Don't Lose That Number on it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Love it.
Great song.
Love it.
At this point, they added a percussionist and another vocalist, Royce Jones, from Ambrosia.
Ambrosia. Ambrosia. Oh, you guys want to talk about Ambrosia again?
Also, Michael McDonald and Jeff Porcaro.
Hi.
Jeff. Michael McDonald. And Jeff Porcaro from Toto.
Uh-huh.
Familiar. Yep. And then they also took in Jim Gordon of Derek and the Dominoes. As the drummer on the rest of the songs.
Now you watch yourself. You're getting close to Clapton territory
there.
This
is our Clapton connection.
Oh!
Fucking Clapton.
Got his fingers in every single fucking pie out there.
All over the place. No matter what, we can all... It all comes back to that
piece of trash.
But did you know that, speaking of shitheads, Jeff Gordon, the drummer on Pretzel Logic, murdered his mother.
Oh boy.
In 1983.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently he went for years with undiagnosed schizophrenia.
Oh no.
Yeah. Mm. So
that's sad.
Yeah, everything Clapton touches turns to gold.
Thanks for nothing, Clapton.
Exactly, you fucking brick.
Fuck you.
Other session musicians included on Pretzel Logic were Dean Parks on guitar, Rick Derringer from the Real McCoys, who sang Hang On, Sloopy.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy. Rick Derringer also played with Weird Al.
Oh my gosh, I'm listening.
Yeah. And he also produced the WWF album, wrestling album 1 and 2.
You get yourself started, it's hard to stop. You just go for your partners, you know what? And then you G-R-A-B-T-A-G-M-C-A-K-E-S. Grab that, catch. What's that all you do? Grab that, catch. And listen, I don't care what it takes.
Which is amazing.
And tell me what was on that.
Have you ever heard Hulk Hogan's record? Have you heard Hulkamania? Or what is it? Hulkamaniac in Heaven? It's like Hulk Hogan's ballad.
No.
It is bananas. It's like right up. Like it's a sad story. It's about like a fan that died. But like, oh my God, it's bad.
All this is not good.
Also got that thing on it. It's like, I wanna be
your Hulkamaniac, have fun with my family and friends.
But then the other one's like, there's a chair missing next to the ring. It's amazing.
Oh my God.
So we have this guy, okay. Dean Parks. Or great. Sorry, Rick Derringer.
Great, I'm so glad he's here.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Brother!
I'm definitely gonna put in a sample of that, and also just for fun, for why not, some of Randy Savage's rap album.
I mean, why not?
Yeah,
why the fuck not?
Because your movies and your acting skills are both trash. Your movie's straight the video, the box office can't stand. While I got myself a feature role in Spider-Man, you hide the man, but when I find you, gone. And when I slam it to the dirt, you wish you was never born. I smell a coward. Is that you, Hogan? What? My dude's gonna kick.
She's talking about Hulk Hogan so much. It's so good.
Have you heard the Moldy Peaches cover of Hulkamaniac?
I have, yeah.
Okay, great.
I used to love the Moldy Peaches.
Me too.
They're fantastic. I still love Adam Green's music.
I mean, there's some really great Adam Green songs for sure. And there's some really great Kimya Dawson songs.
Yeah, I find her a little too cutesy.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of like on like the level of like, oh my God, what's her face? Joanna Newsom to me.
Are you going to speak ill of Joanna Newsom?
No, Joanna Newsom, but I find
you better watch your tongue.
Too cutesy.
I mean, that's like early Joanna Newsom, but
fair. Yeah. Like, hey, I will take it back. I haven't listened to anything for a long time.
Before she got nodes on her vocal cords and couldn't sing like that anymore.
Oh, really? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, totally.
Adam Green. Have you seen Adam Green's Aladdin?
No.
It's Banana Town.
Oh, wait. I think I've seen part of it.
It's like him.
It's like a fever dream.
It's insane. It's all paper mache.
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
It's,
oh, yeah.
It's like him, Natasha Lyonne. Oh, my God. What's her face from... she played Maybe on a...
Oh, yeah. Alia Shawkat.
Alia Shawkat. Mm-hmm. Macaulay Culkin. McCulkin's also in a movie with him that produced by Adam Green called The Wrong Ferrari.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, Adam Green went right off the deep end, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Adam Green's doing what he needs to do, and I appreciate
100%.
That.
His album with Binky Shapiro is fantastic.
I haven't heard that one.
It's really good. It's like a duet album.
Mm.
Yeah, I like it. It's got a song on it called Cigarette Burns Forever. It's really good.
Great.
I'll throw it in. Why not?
Great.
Sidewinder drinks and gambles. The gold digger strikes his damsels. But when I lost the magic sandals, I said some things I could not handle.
We're on track here.
Yes,
this
we're definitely talking about Steely Dan and not the Moldy Peaches or Macho Man Randy Savage. Go on.
Okay, brother. Chuck Rainey was also on this album.
Uh-huh.
The most recorded bassist in the history of music.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is also the point where Becker decided to stop playing bass. And started playing guitar and Steely Dan because he's like, why would I play bass? I have Chuck right here to do it.
Right.
Like,
okay.
I'm never going to be as good as this guy.
Right.
He still wrote all the bass parts.
Yeah.
But when it.
He didn't play them.
Exactly. Yeah. But he's also a phenomenal guitar player. So.
Right.
Becker.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They started fighting at this point with Baxter and Hodder from the band.
Who's Hodder?
Hodder was the drummer.
Oh, right.
Yeah. About touring versus studio work.
Oh, yeah.
They hated touring, Becker and Fagan. So they're just like, we don't want to do this. But Baxter and Hodder were just like, or maybe Hodder was the bass player. Sorry.
So one of the many, many, many people who have.
For sure. Who have come through the band.
Yeah.
So they dissolved the band. And they had their last ever tour performance was in 1974. July 5th at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium in California.
Oh.
It was their last like show with the touring band.
Huh.
Yeah, and this is all around the time of Pretzel Logic.
Right. Okay.
Also, cool little tidbit on the cover of Pretzel Logic, on the pretzel cart, the word pretzel is spelled wrong.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, exactly. Which is probably the kind of like inside joke between those two guys.
Right.
Yeah,
they're like, isn't it funny that pretzel's spelled wrong?
Yeah. On a pretzel cart. 1975, they put out Katie Lied, which is okay.
It's not my favorite.
It's not great. It's really guitar driven.
Yeah,
I find.
Yeah, maybe that's why I don't like it as much.
and Fagan and Becker were the only original members on this record on Katie Lied.
Wait, I always forget. I feel like Katie Lied. I always need to bring up like a track list because.
Sure.
It's just not one that I listen to a lot, and
it's got Dr. Wu on it, which is dope.
Are you with me, Dr. Wu? Are you really just a shadow of the man that I once knew? Are you crazy? Are you high?
Black Friday.
Bad Sneakers, I like. Yep. Yeah. Everyone's Gone to the Movies.
I don't like that song. Chain Lightning is on here, though.
Chain Lightning, I like, and I like Your Gold Teeth, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, it's good.
It just doesn't,
great.
It's not, it like, there's other albums of theirs that I think are, like, you know, whole in and of themselves, and it just feels like this is just a series of songs.
Sure. Yeah, like one cool thing about this, though, is that there's two Toto members on this record. Our boy David Page is here.
Oh, Page made
Page
it
is
in.
Here, and Jeff Porcaro.
Oh.
They also hate this record. They apologized for the sound of this record publicly on the back of the record.
Oh my God. They're like, sorry, we're so embarrassing, guys.
Exactly.
Sorry, and we're such shitheads for giving you this piece of garbage record. Please don't talk to us ever again. We're awful.
It's exactly what they did. And they blamed it on a faulty DBX noise reduction system. They're like, there's too much noise.
And everyone's like, what?
Yeah, like, it's fine. So
too much noise.
Yeah, like, too much. Everybody's going to the movies. And for years they just like refused to listen to it in its entirety.
Oh my God!
Just like, no, I'm out.
Oh my God!
The Royal Scam came out after this in 1976, which is their most guitar-oriented album.
Okay, so maybe I'm wrong about the guitar, because actually I really love the Royal Scam.
The Royal Scam is great. It's their most guitar.
I feel like it's kind of my favorite.
Really?
I think it is my favorite.
The drums on this are amazing.
Like, I think because you get a lot of these songs that have like almost like a disco beat in them, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of like, obviously like Kid Charmaine has been sampled. Also, there's something now wrong with my Spotify, or right with my Spotify,
sure.
where no matter, I was listening to like all the Steely Dan albums in succession, and I'd be like, okay, now I'm gonna listen to like, you know, Pretzel Logic or whatever, and as soon as every single album, as soon as it finished, it would just immediately, the first song that it would play for me was Kid Charmaine. So
that
just,
same thing was happening.
I know. And I was like, what's, I mean, it's something with their algorithm, obviously.
I'm sure it is.
The first few times I was like, you're right, I do love this song. And then after a while I was like, guys, they have a lot of other songs.
Yeah. That kept happening to me too. And it would just reset to Kid Charlemagne every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah.
You turned it on the world. That's when you turn the world around.
There's a lot of songs on this that I feel like are super like kind of like dancey feeling, dancey vibes.
Well,
like,
that's because of Bernard Purdy.
Oh yeah.
Who is incredible.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I was watching some videos with him.
Mm-hmm.
He is so funny. I love him so much. He's
he's got a lot of great sweaters too.
So many.
Yeah.
And he was such a, like, he used to show up in the studio, this is pretty well known, with two signs.
Uh-huh.
And one sign would be on one side of the drum kit that says, you done did it. And then on the other side of the drum kit, it would say, you done hired the hit maker. Like, he's super cocky, God. But amazing. And he's so awesome during his, like, his like most famous thing that he's known for is the Purdy Shuffle.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is on, actually, their next, Steely Dan's next record.
Yeah, and he talks about that on the Asia documentary.
He does, yeah. He talks about it in, it's like, I'm not a drummer, but it's like six different time signatures in one beat. Like, it's really neat.
Yeah.
But watching him play drums is incredible. Yeah. I watched like some sort of clinic that he did with, I don't know, a group of students or something. And while he's playing, he's always going like, ha, hoo, woohoo. And it's like, and here comes the train. Woo, woo. And then he goes, ha, hoo, ha.
Ah, bow, ha, da, 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 da. Hey, oh, my, die, da, 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 die. Die, oh, bye, oh, bye, oh, bye, bye, boy, 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 bye, die. Ay, ya, 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 ya.
So he's like the Glenn Gould of drums?
Kind of. Like, he's just always singing, and he has always has like a giant smile on his face while he's playing drums, and he's a fucking hell of a drummer.
Like, I feel like it does really make a difference on like a drummer that you can feel that like almost like they're being possessed by that.
Sure,
yeah. Because then it translates into this somehow into this thing. But I think there's a few songs, like even just looking at the track list here, like The Fez. Oh my God, I love The Fez.
Yeah, great.
It's so good. And then it follows up by Green Earrings, which also has that really cool syncopated beat.
Sure, yeah.
And I like everything you did.
I never knew you. You were a roller skater. You gonna show me later. Turn up the
But it's super weird.
Oh, for sure.
It's so weird.
Well, same with the song Haitian Divorce.
Yeah.
Like, that was the lead single.
Was it?
Yeah. And the weird thing about that was, I can't remember who it was. I think it was on the Asia documentary, maybe, mm-hmm. where they were talking. It was like one of their producers was like going to Haiti to get a divorce because like the rules were different there. It used to be a lot harder to get a divorce than it is now.
Huh.
And apparently the laws were a lot more lax in Haiti. So he's like, sorry, guys, like I got to go to Haiti for a while. And they're like, what? Why? And then he came back and they had Haitian divorce written.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, super strange, right?
Yeah.
But this is really around the time where the Steely Dan, like, their trope, I suppose, of them being, like, I don't even know how to, like, almost like drill sergeants in the studio.
Yeah.
And, like, going through just so many people to get the sounds they wanted. It was around, like, the Royal Scam when this started.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which brings us into where it really got kicking. That whole trope is Asia from 1977.
Without the fez on. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Asia released September 1977. It was one of the first American LPs to go platinum.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. A lot of British LPs went platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was top five in the US within 3 weeks. It won a Grammy. So like at this point, they're really picking up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Peg is on this. Josie's yeah. on this. Deacon Blues is on this.
Yeah, Black Cow.
Black Cow, mm-hmm. FM. Or no, FM's not FM. Not on sorry, this. FM is not on this. Sorry. Yeah, they won a Grammy for engineer, best engineered record, that non-classical.
Makes sense.
Which yep. makes total sense. Yep. This album is fantastic.
Yeah.
Start to finish.
I think also, like, there probably isn't a better start to an album than this particular album. If you're just sort of like, I don't know, Asia, what's this all about? And you put on the first song and it's Black Cow and you get that. Boom, boom, boom.
It's so good.
Boom, boom,
uptown, boom. Baby. Uptown, baby.
Like, you can really tell with a lot of these songs, too, like, oh, it makes so much sense that these would be desirable samples.
For sure.
Because they're like, they're just so fucking good.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Yeah. Well, if like Steely Dan is actually well known in the world of hip hop.
Yeah.
Like, one of the first times I heard the song Kid Charlemagne, I was just like, oh, that's from Champion by Kanye West. I just didn't know at that point.
Did you realize that you are a champion?
You don't see just how wild the crowd is. You don't see just how fly my style is. I don't see why I need a stylist when I shot so much I can speak Italian. I don't know, I just want it better.
That's kind of hilarious to me that that's the first time that you heard that song.
Right?
I'm not a huge, I don't really like Kanye. I'm like, I'm, you know, there's the occasional song where I'm like, all right, I'll give you this one, Kanye.
But I went
like,
through an early Kanye phase when Kanye was sure. early Kanye, like, you know, 10 years ago or 12 years
but
ago.
But I think
whatever.
Even then, it's just like he was unbearably obnoxious to me and I just couldn't really handle it. Hmm. So, but I mean, I've loved Steely Dan since I was probably like in my early 20s.
Sure.
So.
See, I mean, I've listened to Steely Dan. I didn't hear Kid Charlemagne for the first time this week. Like, but I definitely heard the Kanye song first.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
MF Doom also sampled Kid Charlemagne again.
Yes.
On Gastrols from Operation Doomsday.
Which you know, if we're gonna play favorites here, I will say Kanye did a better job with the sample.
Well, yeah, I mean, he Kanye really samples the music, whereas MF Doom was only sampling the words like, you were high.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were high.
Yeah.
I saw you in hell with them gas drawers. To my brother Sub Rock and Black Jew, I crack proof for two more free men, two up. I hit the brew up like nobody knows how. Extra unseen.
But Doom is great.
What's the no, that's not it's not Kid Charlemagne. Sorry, that's You Were High with Black Cow.
Black Cow, I'm sorry, I have that wrong one.
Yeah.
It was Lord Tariq and Peter Guns also did Black Cow for Deja Vu.
Uptown, baby. Uptown, baby.
Fucking.
I hated to feel the flame for my heater. I never really liked to play a fool like that, but I love to succeed. See foes fall flat. Flat like Deja Vu. And I got another clip down a Deja Crew. I sit pissed out. Dumb P. Mo with the pissed out. Just cause I'm pissy don't mean you should miss out.
Other people that have sampled him are Wiz Khalifa sampled him.
Right.
From his song Old Channel or Old Chanel. I'm not really sure. He sampled Josie.
Okay.
Yeah, you know that like weird like... Dun, 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 dun.
Yes.
Yeah, he sampled that.
Okay.
Slowed it down a bit.
Gold teeth and a snapback. Camo shorts, high socks and hoodies. And the moon print, Joy Rich backpack.
I know De La Soul off of Three Feet High and Rising.
Yeah, true.
They sample Peg.
Peg, yeah.
I know this, but not because of all my earthly treasures, or regardless to the fact that I'm past the noose, but because
I know I love you better.
Walk Into the Sun by a band called Organized Confusion. It was Feral Monch's first band.
I don't know.
Or first group, I guess.
I don't know who that is.
He's like a famous solo MC, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They sample Green Earrings.
The sun reflects off of the waves at sea. Rain support roots that impress the tree. There's a breeze and a block kites fly high under the branches. Convertibles fly by the sky. Blue feels green. Paints a picture that creates a scene of the destiny that controls my fate. Reflections of light create.
I love that song.
Yeah, and those are like the biggest ones that I was able to find.
Green.
Steely Dan, a friend of hip-hop. Also, Steely Dan hated when people sampled their stuff. And definitely...
Which is also really funny to me, because it's like they also kind of like, before sampling was a thing, I guess they were making music, but they were sampling
in
what they were doing. You know, like in so, like, I forget what the song is, but there's definitely one of the songs where like... it's a Horace Silver kind of like piano part. And like Fagan has like admitted to kind of like just like taking it wholesale. You
know? Yeah. they actually got sued at one point by Keith Jarrett for ripping off his song, Long As You Know You're Living Yours.
Sucks.
I'm not into it.
He sucks. if Steely Dan are like jazz nerds and they're kind of like unbearable at times, like, you know, Keith Jarrett is like that turned up to 11.
Sure. Fair. Back to our timeline. After this, they recorded FM, for Asia, but for the FM soundtrack.
Yes.
I watched some of FM, and it is not, atrocious.
Not watchable.
It's really bad. But the best scene is there's a scene where like a cop and a guy get in a fight on like a terrace, and it's amazing.
So you know that that FM has the... FM has the Eagles connection.
It does.
Yeah.
FM, what song is by the Eagles on it? Oh, no, you mean the song FM.
The song FM.
Got you. No, well, I was looking at the soundtrack for FM.
Oh, yeah,
which is a double LP, which is amazing. It's got, like, Night Moves by Bob Seger, Fly Like an Eagle.
Night Moves.
Breakdown by Tom Petty.
Oh.
Lido Shuffle by Boz Scaggs.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, man. It keeps you running.
These are all my favorite songs that I like to sing and annoy people.
Oh, dude, we should just do the FM soundtrack.
One more time, gotta get it. One more for the road, Lido. You don't know all the words to Lido Shuffle? Oh,
no,
weird.
Of course course I don't.
Weird.
What's Boz Skaggs' other ripping song? The Lowdown.
Oh, yeah. The Lowdown's good, too.
The Lowdown's really good.
I probably told this story on the podcast before, but when Boz Skaggs was playing at the music venue I used to work at, my manager called him Bob Skaggs.
Bob Skaggs?
And then my sister was like, Bob Skaggett.
Oh, rest in peace again.
R.I.P. Bob Skaggett.
Everybody's dying. Yeah, Eagles connection.
Yeah.
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 Little tip of the hat.
A little tip of the hat to the Eagles. Well, I mean, it's on I like the Royal Scam. There is the line in Everything You Did where they say, turn up the Eagles, the neighbors are listening.
Yep.
And it's always kind of like, you know, this like mythology or whatever. But the both groups had the same manager. They had their manager was Irving Azoff. But apparently Walter Becker's girlfriend at the time, she loved the Eagles and played them a lot, which bothered him a little bit.
Fair.
And one day they got into a fight and he came up with that line. But I think there was sort of like a, then like the Eagles responded by putting a line in Hotel California with, they stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast. But in FM, like the actual song,
sure,
the background singers are Glenn Frey and Don Henley, and then Tim Schmidt. So they're all doing backing vocals. That's for the song. Yeah, the song also has Jeff Beccaro on it.
Obviously.
But like, if you listen to it, I mean, like the, in so many of their songs, the backup vocals are super lush and beautiful. But like, in FM in particular, it's like a full choir.
Oh yeah, no,
you
for
can
sure.
hear that like that full sound of like the background singers.
But it's Fagin who says grapefruit wine.
Girls don't seem to care.
Tonight. That song's really funny. I like that song a lot.
No static at all.
Then that ripping guitar. Do you know where they got their name?
Yes, I do.
That's from Naked Lunch.
Yeah.
From a steam powered strap on dildo.
Yeah, yeah.
They were, I like, mean, we didn't think anybody would get it. So it's like,
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, whatever. Like, I'm not a huge fan of like William Burroughs stuff, but have you ever heard that that Laurie Anderson album that William S. Burroughs is on?
No.
It's called is it Sharky's Day?
I don't know. You're the one telling me about it.
Sharky's Day.
Sharky's Day?
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, we'll play some.
And it's like he does a whole spoken word thing. He does the song like there's Sharky's Day, and then he does the whole spoken word of Sharky's Night, and he's pretty old when he's doing it too.
Sun's going down like a big bald head, disappearing behind the boulevard. It's Sharky's Night. Yeah.
Didn't Kurt Cobain release a song with William S. Burroughs like very later on?
I'm sure, probably.
I think.
Like, this album, I think, was very close to when he passed away, maybe.
I think it'd be the same with the Kurt one, I think.
Fight tuberculosis, folks. Christmas Eve, an old junkie selling Christmas seals on North Park Street. The priest, they called him. Fight tuberculosis, folks.
I do love that this album, it's called, sorry, it's Sharky's Day is the song, but it's called Mr. Heartbreak is the album.
Okay. dude, recently I watched The Crow 4. Oh, man. Like, and I mean recently, like last week. The Crow 4, Wicked Prayer, starring.
When you say, wait, say it in a Boston accent.
I can't really do a Boston accent. Wicked Prea.
Wicked Prea. Prea. Prea.
Guess who plays the crow?
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Edward Furlong.
Wait, you did tell me that before.
It's Rob.
Edward Furlong is definitely like in the like sort of like You know what Haley Joel Osment looks like now? Like kind of
like a weird teddy bear?
Like a my friend Maria and I would say that he looks like a bow.
What's that?
You know, like a Korean or a
that's what I thought you meant. Like, you can't be that mean.
Like a dumpling man. Like, he looks like he's made out of the stuff that they make bows out of.
That's fair. That's fair. Oh, my God. Yeah,
Edward Furlong's the same, right?
It is rough. Super, how bad.
Super pale.
He looks like when they dress him up, like, as the Crow. Oh, like, God. When he's got, like, the makeup on, he looks like Robert Smith from The Cure now. Which is amazing. And who else is in it? David Boreanaz.
Oh my God,
is in it, and he. Oh my God, it's so. Tara Reid is in it, and it's actually depressing watching her because yeah, I think it's like right at the height of her addictions, and it's something.
So you decided to spend some of your precious hours of your life watching this?
Yeah, The Crow 4 alone. It was great.
10 out of 10 would recommend. Great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of bad movies, so I mean, do watch The Crow 4. Wicked Prayer.
Wicked Prayer.
It's really bad. Jesus Christ, where are we? We're at Gaucho.
Gaucho.
November 1980. This was a big time of turmoil for the band.
Wait, this has nothing to do with Steely Dan, but I really have to tell you.
Sure, I'm in. Is it Edward Furlong related?
No. It's just a joke between me and my sister. We were in a store one time and this woman walked by us and was like, just we heard of her conversation was pair of little brown gauchos. That's it. Go on.
What? Okay. Yeah, this is a time of turmoil for the band. They actually lost a whole song during this recording.
Oh shit.
Yeah, there was a song called Second Arrangement, which was like what? Like people loved the song. It was, I think they were like aiming for it to be a single.
Okay.
And an audio engineer just came in and totally recorded over the whole thing.
Cool.
Yeah. And they just never did it again.
Oh, my God.
Also, at this point, Walter Becker's girlfriend died from a drug overdose.
Oh, shit.
And her family sued him for $17 million.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And apparently, they settled out of court. And then, like, really soon after that, Becker was hit by a cab and, like, shattered his whole right leg.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
because he was really into like opiates and stuff.
Yeah, right? He had big time addiction problems. Yeah. That's I mean, later on era, he like moves to Maui to get away from that.
Yeah.
One, not to make too much light of it, but one funny thing about him moving to Maui is that when you look it up, it said that he was an avocado rancher.
Hmm.
Not an avocado farmer, a rancher.
Like there were wild avocados, yeah, and they were like bucking and being like. Rah!
Exactly.
He had to like herd them in and like move them to different pastures.
Yeah, just him out there with a sheepdog.
Yeah. I like it.
So this was also the point when they got sued by Keith Jarrett.
Uh-huh.
Also at this point, MCA bought ABC.
Okay.
In March of 1979 and pushed back Gaucho just because of all the legal that had to go through of MCA acquiring ABC, pushed back the album for 2 years.
Okay.
Which basically at this point, this is when they like really got known for being like just ultra perfectionists in the studio.
Right. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of stories around Gaucho. Like, who was it? I actually found a whole article on I think Vulture put it out. And it was called Steely Dan Takes the Wind Out of Artist Sails. So, for example, Mark Knopfler.
Oh, Mark Knopfler.
Yeah, Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits.
Yeah. We should do a Dire Straits episode.
We 1,000%.
I love Dire Straits.
Yeah, man. Dire Straits is fantastic.
And Mark Knopfler's solo stuff I really love, too.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Mark Knopfler, but I don't really like this song.
I'm going to talk Mark Knopfler. So he was hired to play guitar on Time Out of Mind.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And they were basically dicks to him the whole time.
Ugh.
They were just like made fun of him because, not made fun of him, but just like really got on his case because he didn't know how to read music.
Oh, give him a break.
And then like the progression, they're just like, they kept saying that like he wasn't getting better at playing the song.
Because they were just beating him down and being rude and mean to him?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So they recorded for 10 hours straight.
Oh my God, no.
And they used 15 seconds of it.
Jesus.
Yeah. Also, Jeff Beccaro at this point, direct quote from him says, "From noon to six, we played the tune over and over and over and over again. And I'd nail each part. We'd go to dinner, we'd come back, and we'd start recording again. They made everybody play like their life depended on it." So the song Gaucho, which Jeff Beccaro plays drums on.
Yeah, yeah.
The song's like 5.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
Right? 46 separate drum takes were stitched together to make the drums for Gaucho.
My God, that's crazy. And it's not even that good of a song.
Right? Right? And it's not like you hear it and you're like, wow, that
yeah.
is.
Yeah, great. It doesn't make a difference at this point. And I think that's really interesting. By the time you get to Gaucho, it's sort of like, it's not proven at this point that like all that work is really worth it, because Gaucho is not a great album.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, there's some really high points on Gaucho.
Love Babylon Sisters, obviously.
another session musician, Lanice Bent.
Uh-huh.
She sang. She was on. I can't remember what song it was.
Babylon Sisters?
I don't think so. Here's another direct quote from her saying to her manager. She says, "I have to tell you, I need off the Asia." Or sorry, this is on Asia. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I need off the, it was on the song Asia. She's like, "I need off the Asia sessions. They worked on the words, well, the.
Yeah.
For 6 hours yeah. last night.
Yeah.
All they did was work those two words for just the right sound for hours. Yeah. I really have to get off the session."
Yeah, yeah.
Another really famous thing, getting back to Gaucho, was that on the song Hey 19, Drum Machine, they got to the point where like they could not find a drummer to play up to their standards.
Right.
So Wendell the Drum Machine was created.
So they invented a drum machine.
It wasn't them. It was, I forget who did it.
But they spent like, what was it, like $200,000 on
it? An insane amount of money.
Like, because I feel like you hear interviews and they were just like, yeah, and so they said it would cost this much money. So we were just like, well, we had $200,000 left, so we just gave it to them. I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck? $200,000 just for a drum machine for one fucking song?
Yeah, and it was like an old style. The thing is that it actually wasn't a drum machine. It was a drum sampler.
Yeah, it was like a synthesizer, right?
Kind of. Like, yeah. It was like, it almost looked like an old like Commodore 64 looking computer that you actually had to like fill like punch codes into, like analog punch codes had
right.
been fed in, and actually they couldn't finish the song because whoever Pentium, let's say, actually had to put out a new computer chip so that like the guy's like, yeah, we can finish this song, we can get the sound you really want, but we're gonna have to wait until the fall when, like, I'm gonna say Pentium, like whoever, you know, computer program company, they need to put out a faster processor that can take, like, you know, like 16 kilobytes instead of 8. So, like, yeah, it was just, it's insane.
So they literally didn't have the technology. They couldn't rebuild him.
No. Wendell, the drum machine, also.
Ow, I'm sorry.
Stacy hit her knee. When when Gaucho went platinum, they actually sent a platinum plaque to Wendell.
He deserves it. He
definitely deserves it. Probably one of the most famous drum machines of all time.
Oh, my God. Wendell.
Super dumb. You know what I mean?
Like, just, and what song was it? Was Wendell featured in the most? Was it Hey 19?
Wait, that was the only song that had Wendell.
So dumb.
That's it.
Also,
one song.
An awful song.
What? I like it.
I hate that song.
Right.
I hate it. It's so Babylon Sisters.
And then at this point, they broke up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a really bad time for the band. Like,
yeah.
Nobody was really getting along.
Yeah.
Everybody was, you know, like getting sued or suing other people. And it's just they broke up.
So do we want to take this moment to cut in and talk about or play the second?
I definitely want to play another game.
Okay, it's yeah. time for the second Steely Dan game. Guess which woman is not in Steely Dan songs.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to read you the full list.
Okay.
And then you got to tell me. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Josie, Peg, Ricky, Rose, Asia, Queen of Spain, Babylon Sisters, Kathy, Aretha Franklin, Louise, and Mary.
I'm going to go Kathy.
Oh, you got it!
Did I?
Yeah!
It was a toss-up between Kathy and Rose.
Yeah, Rose is from Rose Darling.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured, so I was like, oh, it's got to be. Cool, nice.
I was actually surprised. I thought Louise would throw you off.
No, Louise just sounds like such an 80s name, or like 70s name, that I was like, nah, there's a Louise in there. What was the, when you said not Aretha Franklin, but just Aretha Franklin, I was like, oh yeah.
That's Aretha Franklin.
It's great. Yeah, so they didn't put out another record until 1993 at this point.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So wait, when was Gaucho? Was 80?
Gaucho was, I think, 82.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, or 80. I think it was just 80.
It might have been 80.
Yeah, so they didn't put out another album until 1993, and then they put out another album in 2000, which they actually won Album of the Year for at the Grammys, which was a huge upset at the time.
Oh.
Well, nobody knew who Steely... Well, no, you know what I mean. The teens didn't know.
The teens were like, Steely who?
Yeah. So it'd be like nowadays of like, you know, like, I don't know, Aerosmith just like won like Album of the Year, and it's like Aerosmith put out an album, like,
oh my god, could you imagine? There would be riots if Aerosmith won Album of the Year.
I would hate it if Aerosmith won Album of the Year. I hate Aerosmith.
I hate Aerosmith too. I just like, I just hate them. I'm just, all my thoughts were all disappeared from my head by an image of Steven Tyler, and I was like, get out of here, I hate you.
Yeah, you old grandmother looking weird.
I hate you, grandmother.
Grandma Tyler.
So gross.
Yeah, when they won, they were up against like Radiohead, Kid A, which was a massive album at the time, one of Eminem's albums. Like, it was just like, people are just like, what the hell is that? Okay, I guess Steely Dan won. Not since what was the other huge upset? Forget what year it was, when Jethro Tull won like heavy rock recording of the year over Metallica. It's like, what? Jethro Tull?
I like that though. Yes. I like that upset.
I'm into it. So yeah, at this point, I think in 82, Fagan released a solo record called The Night Flock.
So you say there's a race of men in the trees. You're for tough legislation. Thanks for calling. Wait all night for calls like these.
Okay.
Which is really good.
Cool.
It's a trilogy of records.
Yeah.
Apparently the trilogy is Nightfly is his childhood. Kamakiriad he put out at some point, which is middle age, and then Morph the Cat is old age. Very interesting. Do you know who Kid Charlemagne's about?
Yeah I do, bro.
Owsley Stanley.
Yeah, the famous San Francisco LSD chemist.
Yeah, and also the sound man for the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, yeah, it was all involved in the, like, acid Kool-Aid test kind of vibe of things there. Yep.
That's how the Dead met him.
Right.
They were invited to one of Ken Kesey's acid tests.
It's kind of, like, I mean, all that history of stuff. Like, I read the electric Kool-Aid acid test when I was in high school, and I kind of can't believe how much of it I actually remember, like...
Yeah.
Even just like people's names. I'm like, why am I storing this in my brain?
Right.
Do I really need to know about the history of LSD? And like since then, I've actually like watched a bunch of stuff where, like that will, you know, like the, did you see the documentary series that was Errol Morris?
No.
Did it that was called Wormwood?
No.
Oh, you gotta watch that. Though. It's really good. Cool, it's really, really good. There's like dramatizations in it.
Is it about... Like absent?
So it is about LSD, and it's about like the American government, and sort of like the MK Ultra stuff slightly.
Sure. Yeah.
And like conspiracies to like, it's about this one particular guy who's father died under mysterious circumstances while working for the American government.
Crazy.
And while working on projects that were involved in LSD. Cool. Like development of LSD for various mind control purposes.
Well, that whole era of just like the CIA just being like, we're wacky science chemists, like, you know, and, yeah. Like, the whole, like, I mean, we're getting into like conspiracy corner over here, but like the whole, like, you know, like Nazi connection and stuff like that as, yeah. Well, is pretty wild.
Yeah, like,
it is.
Like
Project Paperclip and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, all that stuff is pretty crazy. And I guess, like, through those acid tests as well, is like how, you know, people like Ken Kesey got his hands on it, and it just spread into like other counterculture movements from
there.
Well,
for sure, a lot of that was because of
our Bud Owsley.
Yeah, he was the largest civilian producer of LSD.
Yeah,
the second largest producer of LSD was the American government.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just like...
which is like... Okay, that doesn't give you pause at all. More, whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, we could, if we really want to get into it, there's a lot we could get into.
Like, yeah.
You know, like, the government loves using, or at least their government loves using drugs to control their population.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In one way or another. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the song "Kid Charlemagne," though. It's one of
amazing.
My favorites.
Yeah. Same.
And I just, like, I particularly love the line where he's like, is there gas in the car? Yes, there's gas in the car. Because I think it also, like, you know, it's a huge song that really, like, shows for me, too, like, some of that, like, first-person storytelling that I was talking about where you're, like, embodying the character.
Yep.
And also this way in which, like Donald Fagen has this way of sort of, like, phrasing things or, like, just even, like, you know, the song itself is a structure that's rigid, and then his vocals or his vocalization within it is really like playing with, like,
sure.
How it can go off script a little bit. Yep. And so it's like, you know, there's all kinds of places for jazz to come in. Everything's jazz.
It's really fun listening. Well, not kind of fun, I guess, listening to like musicians talk about Steely Dan and just like the wild choices they make as far as like where they're going with their next chord or their next group of chords and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You really get into like the precise nature of the music.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, for me, I enjoy that, but at least it's enjoyable. You know what I mean? Like I'm all for technical proficiency and like proficiency within the studio and stuff like that, but like I'd rather listen to Steely Dan than say like, I don't know, like an Yngwie Malmsteen. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you don't want to listen to Yngwie?
just a cool afternoon with Yngwie?
Well, that's like, it's the difference too, like between like fucking like noodling.
Sure.
Because like noodling is its own thing. Like I don't have any time in my life to sit here and listen to like on a guitar. Like,
no, for sure.
Why do I want that? I don't want that.
Yeah. No, but I'm just trying to think of like other bands that would like be similar. Like, you know, like it's like, okay, I guess I would much rather listen to the progressive nature of Steely Dan than I would like to listen to like the prog nature of, say, a band like Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, because it's different, because it's not like prog also has its like, you know, technical or like skill based aspects to it.
Yeah.
But I think also prog doesn't have a lot of texture change.
Sure. Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't. I'm not.
Or it has too much texture change.
Yeah. See, there we go.
Where you're like, oh, we're in a new song. Okay, it's the same song. Oh, okay, all right.
Sure. Well, I guess as long as we're speaking about songs that we really like and why we really like this band, we should go into our soft focus.
Soft focus.
You start this one.
I get to go first because Steely Dan is my favorite.
Sure. Want to go one for one?
We could do one for one. Sure. Mine aren't in any particular order.
Neither are mine.
Okay. So my first one is Kid Charlemagne.
So
is
mine.
It.
Perfect.
Get along. Get along, Kid Charlemagne.
I just like the, it's just such a good song.
It is a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like starts at comes in hot. It like takes you on this journey. It's like, you know what? Honestly, like if it seems weird, but it really like feels to me like you could compare it to like Bob Dylan's Hurricane.
Enzo Petty calls the cops, and they arrive on the scene with their red lights flashing in a hot New Jersey night.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot less long-winded. Get it?
Yeah, a little bit less of a story to tell.
Sure.
Questionable use of language. you know, a lack of questionable use of language.
Sure.
Bob Dylan.
All right. So yeah, we're one for one.
All right. My number two is Deacon Blues.
I also have Deacon Blues. Deacon Blues is so good, man.
It's so good.
Learn to work. The saxophone.
I play just what I feel. Drink scotch whiskey all night long.
Bump, bump.
And die behind the wheel.
First time I heard that song ever, I was like, excuse me?
I crawl like a viper through these suburbs.
I also like when he's like, I crawl like a viper through these suburban streets. It's so good.
It's such a great song. I feel like it's again like that first person narrative too. Like yeah. We're really like learning who this character is, and we're kind of like, you know, we're kind of sensing like he's being like made fun of in some ways.
Sure.
And, like,
well, I mean, the whole song is just about how this guy wants to be a musician so he can be a dirt peg.
Yeah. So he can basically like be a piece of shit.
Yeah. My official review for that song is greasy. It's just a greasy song.
It's real greasy. Have you ever heard the cover of that song by, Bonnie Prince Billy and Bill Callahan?
No.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Well, that's what we'll put in here.
I there was one day that I like, it came on an various algorithm from Spotify, sure. And I think I actually screamed out loud. I was like, I can't believe this exists. This is like a complete perfect Venn diagram of everything I love.
I don't know why, but for some reason I used to always get Bonnie Prince Billy and Ben Folds mixed up.
Oh, not the same at all.
Not at all. No. But recently I listened to, have you ever heard Ben Folds' album, Fear of Pop?
Oh, yeah.
It's so strange.
I don't mind Ben Folds.
I don't mind him at all. But I hadn't heard that album like probably since I was a teenager. And I was just like, what is this?
Yeah. Real weird.
I paid my money and I'm going to see all the movies.
I did always like that one, the album that they did, the Ben Folds 5, that was like the unauthorized biography of Reinhold Messner.
Yeah, it's great.
Or Messenger or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that one.
That guy's a weirdo, man.
I thought about the army. Dad said, son, you're fucking high. I can't believe I can remember this song. Right? I probably haven't listened to it in like 15 years.
What was his other big song? It was like, give me my money back. Give me my money back, you bitch.
Oh, yeah. That was it.
Give me back my black t-shirt. Okay, three.
My number three, you're probably not going to choose this one.
Yeah.
Your Gold Teeth, too.
Nope. I do not have that on my list.
I like that one.
Who are these children who scheme and run wild? Who speak with their wings in the way that they smile? What are the secrets they trace in the sky?
Well, then I will pick one that probably is not on your list.
Okay.
Home at Last.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's the Purdy Shuffle.
Yeah, the Purdy Shuffle is on that. Yeah.
That's a song.
I know this super highway, this bright familiar song. I guess that I'm the lucky one.
I mean, it's hard for me to choose just five because I love so many of their songs. Yeah,
yeah, it's great. All right, back to you.
Number four is Any Major Dude.
When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more. Any major dude will tell you. Any major dude will tell you.
Oh, I don't have any major dude.
Oh, I can't believe you didn't choose that one.
Okay, so I'm going to go with one that, yeah, it's such a good song, though. Any major dude to tell you that.
Never seen you looking so sad, my funky one.
Black Cow.
Oh, I love Black Cow, too.
I really like Black Cow. Just because, like, it's just like, from the corner of my eye, I saw you. You were high. Very high.
You were high.
Just that little part is just like, and how he repeats it in every verse. It's it's so good.
It's so good. Yeah.
It's just a great song. And like, you know, like I remember that song from Deja Vu and like Uptown Baby.
So yeah,
like,
totally.
It's just a good song.
Yeah.
Over now, take your big black cow and get out of here.
Get out of here. So good. Cool. Number five.
Number five.
We're going to share this, obviously.
FM.
Bury the bottle, mama. It's grapefruit wine. Kick off your high heel sneakers. It's party time. The girls don't seem to care.
Really?
Yeah. I love FM.
Holy shit. Peg.
I know. Wow. I did not choose Peg. It's a
what?
Shock.
That is a
but I mean
on shock.
So won't you smile for the camera? I know they're gonna love it. Peg. I like your picture. I keep it with your letter.
Number six would be Peg. Like, sure. I just really love FM. Like,
FM is amazing.
It's such a good song.
It's great. But like Peg?
Peg is a great song too. But I think like I've probably listened to Peg, I don't know, more times than any human being should ever listen to a song.
Was it you that sent me, it was like a shirt that was Peg themed?
Yeah, probably.
It looked like some sort of like yeah. weird like Korean bootleg or something.
Yeah, and it had like printing on the arms.
Yeah, for sure.
I forget. Someone I know posted that. Actually, someone I know I think bought that.
If you can find that, we'll put a picture up somewhere.
I'll try and find it.
Because yeah, I remember that was a thing of beauty.
Yeah. I like to sing Peg to my cats, though.
Okay.
Or I like to sing to Shosho, at least, where I hold her in my arms and I sing, Shosho will come back to you.
I was hoping that you just picked up Inky and was like, boring movie.
Yeah, that's I do the Michael McDonald part to Inky because she prefers Michael McDonald and Shosho prefers Donald Fagen.
That's
so.
Fair. That's fair. I get yeah. it. I mean, that whole list is just bangers.
Yeah, I mean, like, and then you could keep going because, like, I didn't put Babylon Sisters on there, and obviously, I love it.
True. It's they have a deep well of songs.
Yes, yeah.
I was with Crawdaddy today painting our friend's house, and we listened to Steely Dan for uh-huh. two straight hours. He hated it.
He doesn't like Steely
no,
Dan.
He hated it.
Yeah. He was like, "Do you have any Nick Cave?"
After a while, we ended up listening to more like atmospheric music when David was like, when he was like, it's been 2 hours, guys. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm just being fed hungry reggae and loving it. It was fantastic. Yeah, it was great. It was a whole Steely Dan day for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bottom two.
All right. So my bottom two, you might be scandalized by my bottom two.
Okay.
And you know what? I probably can't explain it, really. Just that, like, the same thing that I love about songs, Steely Dan songs, is also the what makes me hate them.
Okay.
Like, it's like the line is so thin. It's just, like, razor thin between, like, a song that I, like, love more than anything and the song that I'm like, what the fuck is this crap?
Sure.
So my first bottom is Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva, would you take me by the hand? Bodhisattva, would
hate it.
Really?
I hate it.
I like that song.
Oh my God, it drives me nuts.
Wow, okay.
I want to scream it. Just like, the repetition in it, it's so obnoxious to me. I hate it.
Cool.
What's your first bottom?
Cousin Debris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which was from, I think their 2000 record.
Honey, how you grown like a rose? Well, we used to play when we were three. How about a kiss for your cousin Debris? How about a kiss for your cousin Debris? She turned my life into...
Is there any song about a cousin that's good?
I don't know, probably. But this one is about...
I'm like going through songs in my head and I'm like, Uncle John's Band? No, not a cousin.
I don't know any songs.
I'm thinking like a Grateful Dead has a cousin song. I don't know why.
I'm sure they do. There is a fantastic Halifax band called Cousins who are absolutely wonderful. And I do say everybody go out and listen to it.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, they have an awesome album called The Halls of Wickwire.
Oh.
Why don't you tell me something big instead of an announcement that you need a husband?
Anyways, Cousin Dupree is about like a kid or a teenager that like sees his cousin at a party and like wants to kiss her.
Oh,
it's just creepy,
gross, and
like
dumb.
It. And plus, I was watching like it was a VH1 like storyteller documentary,
mm-hmm.
or not documentary, concert,
mm-hmm.
and like they played all the hits, and then they're like, and now we're gonna play some stuff off the new record, and they open up with Cousin Dupree, and I'm like, ooh, what's this? I was like cleaning my apartment or something. I was just like, oh God. Okay, what else?
My other bottom two is Haitian Divorce because I hate it.
Really?
I hate it.
I like Haitian Divorce.
I don't. Song. I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah, and I can't figure out what it is about it. Like, maybe it's just like it's like too like like.
Is it that weird instrument that goes?
No, it's like too like clown music-y, like wow, like that. You know that what is the instrument that's like it's on
like
the
a
like
calliope?
No, it's also on like the East St. Louis Toodaloo. The like. It's like almost like a, you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what instrument
it's like
it
a
is.
Muted trumpet.
Yeah, maybe it's, I guess maybe it is a muted trumpet. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it just, yeah, it's just like the lilt. It just gets under my skin. I just
really?
don't
mind
care
it
for
at
it.
All.
Mm.
Mine is another late era Steely Dan cut with "It's a Shame About Me," just because the lyrics are rough.
Yeah, like, yeah,
it
yeah.
just sucks. It's,
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
But I'm just about to quit. I'm worrying about the future now. Or maybe this is it. It's not all that I thought it would be. What a shame about me.
But they don't get too much into the, like, you know, in a lot of these later era bands, they get into the, like, the real dad blues area.
Which they don't.
They don't. They don't veer into dad blues.
No. The best way I can describe their later records, it just sounds like the low points on any other Steely Dan record.
Sure, yeah. Where you're just kind of like, not my favorite song. I'm just going to skip this one.
Well, another good thing is that they didn't put out too many albums.
Yeah.
I think they only put out like another like three.
Well,
maybe
it's,
four.
It's hard to put out so many albums when you just hate everything that you do and you need to do a million takes of it.
It's true. I think they really like kind of like opened that up a little bit more after time, especially once because I think Fagan put out like two records after Steely Dan that like Becker was like a producer on and
right.
played on, and like I think they yeah. really loosened it up a bit.
Yeah.
And then Becker actually put out an album called 11 Tracks of Whack that Fagan was all over as well.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I really enjoyed.
You love that. I don't like it.
I didn't love it.
You love it. You love it.
Love it so much. Favorite record.
But yeah, it's his voice really sounds like either like Tom Petty or like some kind of like CanCon band that I can't quite put my
it's
finger
the Northern
on.
Northern Pikes.
You think it's the Northern Pikes?
Yeah, for sure.
What's that Northern Pikes song?
I'm an adult now.
Is the,
she ain't
pretty, she just looks that way.
Way.
Yeah, that's
she
what
she ain't pretty. The Northern Pikes. on that, I think we should leave.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's hot in here and I'm tired.
Is it hot?
I find it really hot.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Is it because the heat is on?
The heat is on.
Do 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 do.
Bye.
Bye.
She said at me and it was turning me on. She said she worked in a beauty salon. I heard her voice inside me say, she ain't pretty, she just looks that way.